from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hole. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Parkinson Spiegel. Kill a rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
Are there concerns with you going forward that Zach about whether Zach wants to be here?
I don't have any concerns. I think Zach wants to win. And bottom line, we're a better team with Zach on the team. It's just as simple as that.
Well, when was that from? So many options for him to be doubling, tripling, quadrupling down, saying we're better with Zach on the team.
That wasn't end of season, right? That had to have been earlier than that.
That's February.
February, yeah, okay.
Okay.
But it's weird because Casey Johnson has a really good column up right now at NBC SportsChicago.com about how the DeMar relationship fell apart.
Oh, wow. I didn't get a chance to see that. I heard Casey this morning on Mullion Hall, which I thought was fabulous. But tell me more about the column.
Well, it was just good. It was basically like it's not just one thing, but it's a series of things. But it should not be understated how rapidly this changed. With 3 games to go in the regular season,
yeah.
DeMar was saying openly in an interview with Casey, like, this is where I want to be. I love it here. I love ownership. I love management. I love the city. I love the fans. Like, I want to be here and I want to win here. And then season ends. He's emotional because they aren't going to make it into the playoffs. And he kind of puts a little public pressure on management. Like, I just want to win. I just want to win. I'm not going to play for 25 years. I just want to win.
Uh-huh.
And then exclusive negotiating window around the finals comes and goes with them not engaging with DeMar, which is when they reached the terms with Vooch last year. And I'm doing this from memory. But then, and so that was one signal. And then trading Caruso, a signal.
A big signal.
And then
there.
Drafting a 19-year-old who's a project, a signal. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm not really... It doesn't line up here.
Yeah.
And so he also wants out because they clearly are not really trying to win.
Well, right. And this goes to the bigger picture of whether it was ownership telling AK over the last couple of trade deadlines and off seasons to go ahead and stay where you are and keep striving to get a playoff series or two, if you're dreaming, you know, or whether it was AK wanting to stay in that middle ground and trying to get to, you know, to be decent. And either way, DeMar clearly thought that was the organizational plan until just these steps that KC is diagnosing there. You know, it's interesting. I very much do believe that ownership wanted that because that is Reinsdorfian. It is Reinsdorfian. It is exactly what we have seen for decades with different people in charge. And it goes to ownership wanting to kind of just be okay. And it goes back to, yeah, you know, I mean, like all the stuff that the David Sampson said about Jerry Reinsdorf from decades ago, right? So I believe that was that. What we don't know is if Arturas and Eversley really were held back or if they were like, okay, that's cool. Because now it's being spun by Bernsey and by others that now they have the free will and here we go, which is kind of cool if that's the case. I just don't know exactly how much that is the case. Because when you sign on as a boss, it's team sports, man. Like, you know what your ownership group wants to do.
It's weird. I find myself, like, I think I might be the most cynical person on the Bulls on the station now, just because I just, even if this front office is given some sort of free reign to choose a lane and blow up the old thing, they're the ones who built the old thing.
So they shouldn't be trusted to do this?
Well, I have no reason to believe they're good at it. And even if they are good at it, I also then have no reason to believe that as soon as they get close to competitive again, if you call what the last couple of years was close to competitive, which I don't, but if you do, why would the ownership restraints not just come right back in on stay competitive, maximize this window, short-term thinking? So I just, I think it's not White Sox level of broken.
You can see it from there, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And
I'm waiting for that mandate to be competitive for that team.
You would love that.
You're waiting a long time. Yeah, yeah.
Just be competitive. Get into the playoffs so that anything can happen.
We just want you to get one play-in game. God, that would be a fun summer.
It's a different type of situation.
But that was how it was for years with Kenny.
Yeah,
right?
The carrot.
Just use the carrot and like, oh, let's make a small buy at the deadline. Let's go for it. Let's see.
But growing up, you knew that they were going to never truly bottom out, you know, so that was pleasant compared to what they're going with.
Well,
now,
it's interesting because they did bottom out and it didn't work, and now they're bottoming out again, and it sucks.
We call it the pre-build, you know. They're not done tearing it down yet, so
yeah, the
rebuild hasn't even started yet.
We made a mistake. We built it back up, but we hadn't torn it down enough, so we're going to go back and get that a little more torn down.
Well, they say in baseball now that rebuilds don't really work. So that's what the White Sox are doing. It's a pre-build.
You got to do two of them.
Double down.
That's next level thinking.
Oh, God.
I hadn't thought about that. But so Casey Johnson goes out with Mullion Haw earlier today, and he outlines a nightmare scenario for the Bulls that, even as cynical as I am on this spot, I'm not sure it can get here, and I'll explain why after you hear the clip.
The scenario that I just keep coming back to is, let's say they somehow can't find a trade and he's back. What do you do? I mean, Josh Giddey is your starting one.
Yeah.
Kobe White has to be your starting two. You bring Zach LaVine off the bench? I mean, what are we doing here? So that's the nightmare scenario.
How much validity do you give the theory that, okay, now if, according to the plan, Zach is out to someone maybe out west, DeMar DeRozan doesn't come back, Patrick Williams can flourish and find an easier time getting his shots, being part of that offense now that those two guys are gone?
Oh, I think that's a very valid point, and certainly part of another reason why they gave him 5 years, and people are again focused on $18 million. I don't think that's a big number at all in this rising cap, but yes, that's it. I mean, right there, and again, fits with Giddey, floor spacer. The dude shot 41% from three in 4 years, injury plagued years that injuries largely out of his control. So, amen to that. And that's what this is all about. I mean, I do think a small byproduct that we've not mentioned is the potential to keep the 2025 pick, which is top 10 protected to the Spurs. But I maintain it's going to be hard to do that, just given how many teams in the East are going through similar rebuilding, retooling situations. And, even if Vooch is back, that's one, pretty decent starting level player with all this young talent. And here's the other thing, they're retooling, obviously, but Giddey's a good player. Jalen Smith, good reserve.
Yeah, he's a good player.
So I'm trying to think of a name from a rebuild that I covered on the Bulls, It's like, I think they're adding Khalid El-Amin or something like that. We're going old school there. Sorry for the friendly fire there. Khalid El-Amin just caught a stray from me, but they're adding good players.
So Casey's worried that they're going to get bad, but not bad enough to actually hold on to that top 10 pick in 2025.
So that would obviously be a disaster. There were six teams in the East and four teams in the West that won fewer games than the Bulls. So they were the 11th worst team in the NBA. I'm just asking you to be bottom 10. And you know who was a winning player? Caruso. And you know who was a winning player? DeRozan.
For sure.
These other guys, I don't know that Giddey's a winning player. I don't know that Coby White is a winning player. I don't think that Zach LaVine is a winning player based on all of the evidence that we have. You should be able to, with the removal of DeMar and Caruso, even if you had to have Zach on the team, and even if you had to have Vooch on the team, be a bottom 10 team in the league. Now, that might just be good enough to get screwed by some lottery luck and
end up with 11 or 12.
And, yeah, but I...
That's the nightmare scenario.
Oh, man.
But I don't think... If you remove DeMar and Caruso...
Uh-huh. You should be bad enough.
You someone of Atlanta, Toronto, Brooklyn, Utah, Memphis, San Antonio. Like, I just need one team who is worse than you to jump you.
Yeah, well, Memphis ought to jump you with Ja Morant back. And
that's what I'm saying.
They'll have aspirations.
I mean, Wembanyama could win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in year two with how good he looks and some of these highlights that are coming out of the French national team.
Yeah, Chris Paul's an interesting fit with him and Pop.
And there are ways that you can organizationally scheme it up. You got a sprained ankle, you're actually going to sit 2 weeks instead of one.
My arm, yeah, it's broken.
There's a few things you can do. So it's...
You have faith in them to be bottom 10.
If the number one objective of the team is to be bottom 10, you should be able to be bottom 10, but I don't think you can bring back Zach. I don't think you can do it.
I was tickled this morning as Casey talked about, what if you have to bring back Zach? What would you do? Take him off the bench? What are we doing here? And called that the nightmare scenario. Because
he's right.
My nightmares usually revolve, as you know, around escalators.
Yeah, you're terrified of escalators.
Yeah, where the stairs just stop being stairs and it flattens out and it looks
like the nightmare scenario.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm describing, I believe, is more of a nightmare scenario. What is it for you, Tanny? Zombies, sharks, Sox games?
Sox games is a good one. It's usually a radio dream. Like, you're pressing a button and then something totally unintended happens, you know?
Wow.
You go to fire a billboard for like a Bears game or a Sox game or the show's open and something horrible plays.
I used to have those where I'd hit a button and it would break and the button would just like come off of the console and you got nothing. For sure.
Phantom cries for me. When Owen was just getting up overnight multiple times, like basically his entirety of being a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And then I would wake up, get out of bed, open the door to his bedroom, and he's passed out. And I'm like, great. Now I'm waking up. I'm dreaming.
Of waking up.
Of waking up, waking up, and he's asleep. That's how little sleep I was getting.
I had a friend who quit cocaine. He went cold turkey on cocaine. And for the first several weeks of it, he would dream that he woke up, put on clothes, went out, hooked up with a friend, went on a coke bender, came back, crawled into bed. And he would wake up not knowing whether he'd actually done it or not.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about you, Peter? What's your nightmare? You wake up and you got a voice like Danny's?
What's the worst thing you could do?
Precisely.
It's the worst thing you could possibly imagine.
You wake up and the 440's not prepped? Something like that?
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's rough.
It's that they took away Peter's ponderings.
Oh, no, never. We would never do that.
For my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, this kid's going to be a star. His nightmare scenario, his career is only as good as mine.
Shane, do you have a microphone and a nightmare scenario? Where are you back there?
Yeah, I have one. In my nightmare scenario is not getting my chair back because Peter's so good. So I think he might just stick around and we continue the internship. But also, rejection is one of my biggest fears. And then waking up to an email from Mitch that's not to everyone and just like, hey, stop by when you get in. And it's like 4:30 in the morning. Okay, I'll see you at like noon. Can you tell me what this is about?
Wait, is the nothing bad also nothing, in the email?
Not bad.
Not bad.
But when he doesn't include not bad, then you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here for 7 hours and wonder what's going on at noon.
It's great. Well, all this is good. Good fun. Casey Johnson's nightmare scenario is Zach LaVine coming off the bench.
That's the nightmare scenario.
That's what it is for Casey.
He's right.
Oh,
he's right.
Man. I liked Lawrence's idea today of having a big boy conversation with Zach. This was Lawrence Holmes' idea. And telling Zach, Zach, we don't want you. We know that you don't want to be here. But if we're going to do this, just please, let's go ball out this first half. And you ball out. Go get yours. Let Josh Giddey set you up for some spot-up threes. Show the world what you can be. And then we'll trade you at the deadline. All right? Okay. Good talk. Break. Ready, break. I mean, it's the way you'd have to do it. I just don't know how possible it is to get Zach to listen to that.
I think that Zach has the most powerful agent in basketball. He just got Bronny James drafted 55th overall, okay? This is a powerful man. So
just got a podcaster named head coach.
Yeah. This is a very powerful man. So if his agent, Rich Paul.
And that podcaster, by the way, is Rob Bradford. Baseball is boring. Now head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Congratulations.
He's got the
Rob.
New podcast coming out called The HC, The Head Coach, where you know, he interviews other head coaches and wonders, hey, how do you do this?
You know, I start in a couple of months. Maybe you can tell me how you do this.
No kissing of fannies on that show.
Zero.
Get right to it. But he's just like, I would imagine if Rich Paul can't get Zach LaVine traded somewhere, because this is the type of thing where the Bulls want him traded, Zach wants to be traded, etc. Rich Paul has absolutely been given permission by AK, like,
sure.
Hey, help us out here.
Uh-huh.
If nothing is happening, if Rich Paul can't facilitate it, forget AK not being able to. If Rich Paul can't do it, he'll report to camp.
But that's because right now
he'll play.
Because right now, Danny, there are no teams that make a lot of sense. The Warriors made some sense. I don't know if they still do. The Kings in Sacramento made a little sense. I don't know if they still do.
The Magic, I thought, made a little bit of sense.
Maybe.
But again,
have they gone out and grabbed an adult or a scorer?
It's more of the scorer, right? As the pure scenario for them. But it was the type of thing where it's like, I just think if in their scenario, they're being the Bulls and Zach LaVine, you'll lose plenty of games if you play Josh Giddey, Zach LaVine, and Coby White. You'll lose plenty of games.
It's nice when you have faith in our teams.
I'm just saying, who is that lineup guarding? How do you think it would look?
How about with Vooch as your rim protector behind him?
If the Bulls played the Knicks and they trotted out a perimeter of Josh Giddey, Coby White, and Zach LaVine.
Guard Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges.
And OG Anunoby. Would they score 100 points in the paint? I mean, would the Bulls have 75 fouls at the half? Like what, you know what I mean? Like, what they would be able to do anything defensively.
So that's good. So they can lose enough.
I think so. I think the removal of Caruso and DeMar and the dysfunctionality of playing Zach, Coby, and Giddey together would be so bad that I don't think there's really much fear there. But I still don't think you should do it. I don't think you should, like, because who takes fourth quarter shots?
Zach.
Right. That's not good. It should be Coby White. Because part of it, it's not just about losing. It's about development.
That's why Zach can't be here.
So to me, it's not about, oh my God, you're going to win too many games with Zach LaVine. To me, it's you're going to stunt Coby White's development.
Yeah, no, these moves are designed to allow, you know, some losing and also some blooming for Coby White and for Patrick Williams. I keep thinking about what an opportunity for Patrick Williams to now grow up an extra level, grow up an extra way. Can you imagine if he grows up in this first year of an extremely manageable by NBA standards contract?
Yeah.
Is the first year of him showing you that he can become what we've all dreamed of becoming? I mean, it could be an unbelievable asset. What if he's more than just 3-and-D? Because there is scoring there. There's a lot of maturity that's still to come with Patrick Williams. We've made the point multiple times over the past few years of just how absurdly young he is.
When he was drafted, he was the youngest player in the whole league.
And the next year, after the next draft, he was still among the youngest players.
Yeah, he's like the second youngest player in the league.
It's unbelievable. Joe Cowley, by the way, shared this story the other day about Patrick Williams and another way that he has grown up, and it shows you how much growing up there still is to do.
Patrick Williams, you know, he's learned a lot of things. I think Billy Donovan tells a story about his first year with Patrick Williams. You know, he noticed him eating a big, huge chicken parm before the game.
Hell yeah.
And then doing it the next game and the next game. And he went up to him finally. He's like, bruh, that's not a pregame type meal that you want to stuff yourself with, this big old fried chicken parm.
That's amazing.
I mean, why?
Because it's
young metabolism. No, you need fuel, man.
It's athletic performance, man. How about some lean protein? Maybe some carbs, but like the heavy fried, you know, all that oil and stuff to sit in your gut when you're about to play an NBA game like 3 days in a row?
I mean, you know, you put gasoline in a car, you put oil in a body.
Oh, God.
A little chicken parm.
Just don't let your own predilection for chicken parm, and God, especially how you like to cook it.
What a perfect meal. Chicken farm is, you know what I'm saying?
It's great, but it's just not, shouldn't be a huge pregame meal for an NBA athlete every day.
What if he ate it how Danny cooks it, like in a 200 degree oven for 15 minutes? Maybe that was the issue with Patrick Williams. He's having undercooked chicken.
He's having
a season
raw
of salmonella.
Salmonella.
Patrick Williams got salmonella.
Yeah, my chicken farm is great these
did
days.
Did he get Thank drafted? By the way, did salmonella get drafted?
Those onions aren't cooked, baby. Onions.
Sal is a good player. It's just, you know.
But Mr. Manella did not.
No. That's too bad.
Do the right thing.
That's too bad. But yeah.
I'm even more all in on Patrick Williams.
I mean,
now. He's
learned, because he's a chicken farm guy.
He's a chicken farm guy.
And we need to talk to him.
You taste so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breast or thigh? Do you like the big piece? You like a lot of little pieces?
Thigh. The answer is thigh.
Yeah.
You said breast or thigh.
Yeah. But I'm asking what his preference is.
Oh.
These are the questions I would ask.
Oh, I got
Patrick
you.
Williams.
You took me. You
chicken farm guy.
You transported me to an imaginary Patrick Williams.
I'm sorry.
Interview that I was a part of. It was exciting.
Jay Zawoski will join us coming up in 15 minutes. A transaction happened that really is a startling fall from grace. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.